Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. There's a great, great verse that I want to base my thoughts on here this morning. I suppose I could call this the perseverance of the saints. That's a doctrine, by the way. But I could call that easily because that's really what I'm talking about. But if you'll turn with me with Romans chapter 14 and verse 4, let me break in at verse 13. Let us walk properly. Oh, that's not it. There we are. Just a second. I lost it here. Who is able, who are you to pass judgment, verse 4, on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. For the Lord is able, isn't that a great phrase? The Lord is able to make him stand. I want to speak to two groups of people this morning. I want to speak to those that would be relatively new. You're a new believer in Jesus. And by the way, we had a great time at the Varda residence with the Holy Spirit Day. It was a wonderful time. It's one of those things where we might as well have a good time here because it's pouring rain so hard. What are we going to be doing outside anyway? So we had even a better meeting because of the rain, and we were cozy in the house, and we watched three videos, and we prayed for people and laid hands on anything that moved, and it was just a good time, a really good time. And so, well, of course, what we want is the people to go on and to persevere in the Lord. And so Paul's writing this letter, and he says, God is able to make him stand. God is able to keep. God is able. And so the ableness of the Lord is the subject here today. If we can only learn the lesson of this one word, able. He's able. You see, you can't stand of yourself. Who can say, I'm good? I'm doing well. I'm on the fast track. Who could say that? You can't stand of yourself. It is God that's going to make you stand. If God does not make you stand, you will not stand. I could guarantee you that you won't stand. But he's able. He's able to make Joseph stand in Egypt. He's able to make Elijah stand before Ahab. He's able to make Daniel stand in Babylon. He's able to make John Bunyan to stand in Bedford. Able to make them stand. And so the moment, and I know this and you know this, over the years of my life watching, observing, being a part of the of church life and being a part of what God has been doing in my little part in it, I know that the moment that we lean on the arm of the flesh, that moment is when you will fall. When you lean on the arm of the flesh, when somehow you have self-confidence that you're good, you've stored up some strength, and now nothing will overcome you, and you're going to give the devil a black eye. You know, you hear talk like this, you're going to give the devil a black eye, and I said, I know who's going to get the black eye. It won't be that person. We must not lean on the arm of the flesh. And so the longer I live, and I can say this with strength of conviction, the longer I live, the more dangers I see surrounding me. And I thought, oh, that's a danger. That's a danger. Oh, you could be that to get in that situation, it would be terrible. And so we're surrounded by dangers. We are forced in many ways to fling ourselves upon the Lord, upon his security and upon his significance, and to trust him with our whole lives, moment by moment, looking away from ourselves and looking only unto him, knowing that that's the only way to live, moment by moment. I can't store up. I wish you could store it up. It'd be great to store up victory. See, I got lots of it. I've been storing it up. You can't store it up. It's only good for today. I can get victory for today. Then I got to get new victory for the next day and the next day and the next day. You can't, it doesn't come from, you can't say, it's like manna. You say it's daily. But you can't get any more than you just have enough for that one day. So it's interesting why Samson, so powerful, right? So strong, judged Israel for 20 years. Imagine, he judged Israel for 20 years, then he fell. After 20 years of, I guess we could say, being a blessing, leading, guiding, bringing victory for Israel, then he falls. And I was thinking that, you know, the older you get, that you might be exempt from it, right? That you wouldn't, it wouldn't affect you anymore because you're older. I'll tell you, you can go to the bank with this. There is no fool like an old fool. The age does not save you. Would that it? How wonderful if it would. But how many men there are who fall in their old age, right? It doesn't save you. It can't. And because here's the truth. It's never how you start. It's always how you finish. Everybody starts well, don't they? I think so. They start well, and we applaud them, and they get baptized, and we flash some prayers up for them, and somehow this will really register deep in their hearts. But then we see the wavering. That's why it's very important to pray for each other. I'll talk more about that as we move along here. I think, though, to finish well, it requires a certain mindset, and that is an utter dependence on the Lord, that you just never can look to yourself. How we love to look to ourselves for strength. You know, I'm a self-made person, and thus I may fall in many, many different ways. I think there's a difference between a person falling into sin and the difference between that and having a loving sin. I think many times we can fall, and the Lord sees that. You know, and we discover that there's sin in our life, and I think what I can do with that at that issue is that I can tell the Lord about it. You know, if you say, "Oh, my attitude was wrong. I sinned in attitude. I sinned in action. I sinned in my behavior, and with my actions, whatever else it would be," we can go to God. Because the scripture tells us in 1 John that he's faithful, that confess your sins one to another. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the good thing, is that many times we'll spot something that say, "Oh, that shouldn't be a part of my life." And we can run to God with that and confess that before him, and all is taken care of. But, oh, how we must be careful that I don't love my sin. I can have some sin, but I must not love it. I must scramble out of it. And isn't that how you tell whether you're a new creation or an old creation? It's like the pig. The pig runs into the mud because he has a pig nature. You can wash him. You can powder him. You put a bow on him. He runs into the mud. Why do you run into the mud? I just cleaned you all up. It's because he's got a pig nature. Well, we had one at one time too. And we run into the mud. And we loved it. But when you get saved, all of it, you may still run into the mud, but now you hate it. And I can say this, for 40 years, I have hated sin when I've spotted it in my life. I hated it. And I wanted to get out of it. I wanted to scramble out of it as fast as I could because I have a new nature now. One time, I wouldn't have cared what anybody else. Now, I don't want sin in my life or on my life or anywhere near my life if God would so deliver me. So we must guard against all self-confidence, and as we do that, the Lord will strengthen us and make us stand. He is able to make you stand. I thought, that's wonderful. How glorious is that? That the Lord is committed to, in other words, there's no reason to fall. There's no reason to fall. The Lord is able to make us stand, and to stand today and the next day. You know how it is oftentimes, some new Christian, young Christian, some baby Christian will be so excited, and they'll be praising the Lord, and they'll be going to Bible study, and they've got a big Bible under their arm, and they just love the things of the Lord. And I've heard this, an older person saying, "Well, don't worry, I used to have enthusiasm like that too, it'll pass." What? Why did you say that? Because maybe they thought they would fail. I don't know. But the Lord would say he's able to keep them from falling, present them faultless. And not just the beginner, but also one who has been on the road for a while. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So let him that thinks he stands take heed lest you fall. It's funny how I can pass judgment on things and say, look at that. Look at that over there. Look at, and the writer says, take heed. Be very, very careful when you point your finger at another person, because it could be you. When Paul writes, he said, you watch your life, be careful about that, thinking that you're going to stand, he said, because you're the one who's going down. I thought, oh my, I must not be careful. I must not pass judgment. Say, oh, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. Because it could well be that I think that I'm standing, that I'm superior, that I've got a track record, and I may be going down next. So we just, with trepidation, with a certain amount of running a little scared, knowing the nature of your flesh and saying, Lord, I don't want to be, I want to be a blessing with my life. So take heed lest he fall. Be watchful. I think that's the attitude. Be watchful. Be prayerful. And just that prayer in your heart of saying, Lord, guide me today. Direct me today. Oh, there's a possible temptation. Lord, watch over me this day. And so keep your eyes, as the scripture tells us, fixed on Jesus. Fixed on Jesus. You never go wrong if you keep your eyes on him. But not on any man, any woman. Be very careful that you don't put your confidence in somebody who impresses you. You must not. I exhort you today not to put your confidence in any man, however good he or she, if it's a she, however good they may be. They may be impressive. They may be somewhat awesome. They may be amazing gifts and capabilities. And when you start looking at that, despite that good, they will fail you. If I haven't failed you yet, it's because you haven't been here long enough. Hang around. And you say, I'm so disappointed with Owen. I thought he'd be much more sensitive than that. I thought he would be this. I thought he would be that. And your problem is you've got it fixed on the wrong person. Fix your eyes on Christ. He's the only one that will not fail you. We will all fail. And oh, how terrible it is when you start looking to the leader. See, I must come before the Lord myself and pay whatever the Lord is going to look at my life about. But keep your eyes on the Lord. That is, almost any time I've seen somebody fall, it's because they took their eyes and put them on something else. They put them on a ministry. Put it on a singer. Put it on a musician. Put it on the preacher. Put it on the evangelist. And we're mesmerized by it. They're so impressive. Yeah, they are. And yet that's the very thing. Oh, that I would learn the lesson well. And you would learn it. Together we would learn it. That our eyes are fixed on Christ, knowing that this thing can be very disappointing for anybody if you put your confidence in something other than the Lord. And that just speaks to us. It's not in your notes, but there's a great passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, that I'm almost amused by it. It's so great. It says, keep close watch on yourselves and your doctrine. It's funny we say, oh, my doctrine, it's impressive, my doctrine. My teaching, it's impressive. And he says, that's only half of it. Keep close watch on your life and your doctrine. I think it's easier to keep your eyes on your doctrine, to say, look, this is sound doctrine, than it is to put it on your life, but to watch your life. In other words, people could have some very impressive teachings, and yet they look to themselves. So it's your life and your teaching. Your life and your teaching. Your life and your teaching. They go together. And, well, it's just, I said, that's very interesting. Here I'm trying to impress people with what I know, and it's God would say, I don't want you to be impressed with what you know. I want you them to see what you are. It's more important that you be something, right, that would be honor to the Lord than how much you would know or how impressive your doctrine would be. So Christ is able to make you stand, and he's able to deliver us out of every temptation, out of every problem, that he is the victor for us, and we'll go through life together leaning on the Lord, leaning on the arm of the Lord and not the arm of flesh. Ooh, may it never be, because that is a quick exit out. So use all the grace that you have, because God has yet plenty more. Whatever grace you've experienced in your life, God's got more. So draw upon it. As a matter of fact, God is so willing to give you grace for this journey, this life journey that we're on. He has a throne of grace. Imagine that. If you would like to, turn with me to the book of Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. By the way, years ago I heard it said, and I still quote it. And somebody says, well, let's meet at the throne of grace. And I won't be able to be with you, but we'll meet at the throne of grace. That you may be in Halifax and I may be in California, and we'll know that we're meeting at the throne of grace in prayer. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive, now here's what you can receive, mercy and grace. Find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So whatever challenges come, whatever situations might be faced, that I can use all the grace that God gives. And don't try to save any. You can't save it. It's moment by moment by moment. And so when you want more grace, say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Because you know how it is, we give a baby Christian a Bible, and you know we're smiling when we say it, but we say, now obey it all and learn it all. What parts? All of it. When? Every day? Memorize it? Actually, when you think about that, it's quite thick. Yes, it's very thick. There'll be a test. And we're overwhelmed. Say, how in the world am I going to obey all this? I got one verse. I said, oh, I'm already feeling condemned. So we say that to them, and then they go on about their duties. And they're standing in great need of grace. It's by his grace we won't fall. It's by his grace that he will hold us and he will sustain us. Only by grace. Starts with saved by grace, kept by grace. But we can draw upon that grace moment after moment after moment. We don't save any. When you want more, you go and ask for more. And I see a thing, you know, for morning and for evening, to draw upon the grace of the Lord. I don't know how to say it, but I would encourage you to see the face of God every morning, if that's possible for you, before you see the face of man. To see the face of God every morning before you see the face of man. That's an AM thing that I draw upon, Lord, today as I start this day. Grant me grace to glorify you, to serve you, to be led of you, to be directed by you. Lord, I come before you. I need grace today. I will not, and I think this could be true of all, I will not be victorious without your grace. I will not be, I won't have the strength that I'm going to need today. So Lord, I'm in utter need of having an encounter with you this morning. And so you don't get more than one day's march, as it were, from the throne of grace. And if you don't march too far away from this lovely, lovely throne of grace. If you don't, you stay close, just marching, just as they say, a day's distance away, then you will not go, you won't go far astray. You won't drift off very far if you don't walk away too far from the throne of grace. That's, you won't. And you will be victorious, and your life will be a blessing only as we lean on the arm of the Lord. And then there's a p.m. moment. There's an a.m. where we commit our day and to get the grace that we need. That, it's not a matter of have your devotions. It's wouldn't you like his strength? Wouldn't you like his grace? Wouldn't you like his hand upon your life? And, well, that's what we're saying. We're saying don't go off because you don't have the strength to live this life. Nobody can live this life. Jesus was the only one who did it. And so what we must do is we lean upon him and say, Lord, let there be great grace upon me this day. And you commit that the day. Now, I wrote here, do not go to sleep at night without seeking pardon for the sins of the day. At least maybe you have a different thought about this, and I would respect that as well. But for myself, I find it helpful just before my eyes close to just have a little inventory of what went well and what didn't go so well. In other words, was I obedient and leaning on the Lord? Or was there things? And usually, you know, there's something, and there was maybe an attitude or a lust or a thought or something in my own life. And just to be able to say, Lord, I bring that before you. I was irritated by that. I just confess that. I bring that to you. And there may just be one or two things, but you keep track of that. So you're not, it's not a months and months and years of disobediences, but we don't go to sleep at night without seeking the pardon for the sins of the day, for he is ever faithful to forgive if we confess. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Somehow this God that we serve, this God who's able to make us stand, he delights to forgive us. There's something about him. He just seems to delight. So when you're shutting down for the evening, you say, Lord, I bring that. I was harsh. I was very selfish over that. I should not have said what I said to the kids, or I should not have done what I did. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me. So we keep short accounts with God. That has been one of the most enabling things that has helped me, is that just quickly examining. I know that some people use the Catholic version, the seven deadly sins. I don't personally, although I have experimented with that. Just go through that list. Is there gluttony? Is there pride? Is there arrogance? Is there lust? So whatever it is, but you just skim, not looking for failure, not looking to say, oh, condemned. No, anything but. Just bringing this before, say, Lord, today, these were the areas where I had great, thank you for giving me victory in this and this and this. And Lord, where I took my eyes off of you, I now surrender to you. And I draw near to you, and I ask you to forgive me for where I was off track and, you know, pointing the wrong way by the end of the day. So there's something about if you keep short accounts with God, then you won't fall into sin. Or if you do, it's just a minor thing because you've already had a dialogue with Christ, and it's you know, it's powerful and beautiful. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him. Some of you who are my age, you remember that song we used to sing along with Abel. He's able to keep you. That's very powerful. If you really believe you've received the pardon for your sins, then with confidence, we can commit our life, their whole life. You commit your reputation. You commit your money. You commit it all to the Lord. It's the secret. It's how it works. You just, knowing that you've been pardoned for everything, you don't worry about that. You simply bring your life, your reputation, your money, commit it all to the Lord. And you, by the way, if you haven't done this, you can tell Satan, which I have on many occasions, Say, I speak to the evil one, I speak to the defeated one, and I want you to know that I've surrendered completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. I announce it to you. I've committed it to the Lord. And so I refer the enemy right over to Christ. You can take up the issue with the Lord Jesus, because I've committed all to him. And I've declared that. There's great victory in that, actually. So don't attempt to make any argument with Satan. You will not win. Because you won't. You will never win fighting against him. He will defeat you every time. So don't get in an argument with the devil. You simply declare that you've committed it all to the Lord. And the Lord is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. You can't fight with Satan because he has 6,000 years for sure of experience, maybe longer. He's a veteran, and he knows how to bring people down. He knows how to discourage people. He knows how to overwhelm people. He's had a lot of experience. So you will not have any victory that way when you are going to take. If there's a knock on the door and it's the enemy, then you send Jesus to the door. Say, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why even Michael the archangel, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. But the good news is, in this battle of the darkness and the light, the lion of the tribe of Judah had a battle with the Lord, with Michael, and overcame him. And I wrote here, and since then, Satan always flees when he hears the name of Christ. And he does. We bring the name of Christ to all of our situations. Our elder brother, and that's who Jesus is. Don't you love it? He is divine. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's also our brother. He said he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And so our elder brother is able to help us and to keep us. We have a rich brother in heaven. He's very wealthy. He's extremely rich. And I would say this, let all the young converts and all those who are in the middle of the journey, that Christ, remind them this, that Christ is their keeper. And they cannot keep themselves. How often we've put it on them. Make sure you do this and this and this and this. And it's too much because it puts it back on them. Teach them to put it onto Christ. That is where the victory is. This rich brother that we have. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, is just talking about another enablement. He's able to make all things abound to you. I thought, it's so good. It's so precious. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 8, to make all grace abound. The brother who's able to look after us. Maybe I can turn to that one just in the time. Hebrews chapter 2. If I can find it, maybe I won't be able to find it, but I'll look for it here anyway. And verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when he is tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He's able. Because he was tempted, whenever I'm tempted, he has great sympathy for me. And he wants to help me, and he's able to help those who are also being tempted. And then, of course, the famous one that you know a lot about, Jude 24. Jude 24, we have quoted that. It's only a few verses in that whole chapter. And he says, he's able unto him who is able to keep us from falling. To keep us from stumbling, I think the New English Translation translates that. Able to keep you from stumbling. Present you faultless before his presence in the glory of the Lord. When I think of that, I think of help for all of us. You don't have to fail. You know that. You don't have to fail. It's not written into it. It's not a given that everybody has to fall. No, you don't. I'm not planning on falling as long as my eyes are on the Lord. I'm not planning on falling. It's not a matter of saying, I'm going to fall. No, by God's grace, by God's mercy, that my life would be obedient and that I would be sold out and committed to the Lord. That's the victory. But it comes from the Lord. Every part of it comes from the Lord. You don't get anything from yourself. Always from Him. And He's able to keep us from stumbling. Today, tomorrow, and somebody says, well, what if I go senile? Oh, it's funny, people, I never used to ask me those questions. It was always younger stories. So I don't know what they're really saying, but they say, what if I go, my mind goes, and I deny the Lord? That I say something, you know, and embarrass the whole church, because, you know how people get when they're sometimes when they're put away for a while. And so, well, how will that be? Unto Him who is able to keep you. He kept you in your youth. He'll keep you in middle age. And He'll keep you in your senior years. These are the promises of the Lord. And we'll thank Him and we bless Him for that. We don't have to fail. It's not inevitable. But it will be if I put my trust in the arm of the flesh. And so to remind it again that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the thing. I run back forward to it and back again and back again. Even coming to work here this morning, a little short distance I have to come. But I said, Lord, I just ask You to just spin through my life. Is there anything I'm bringing here to this service today that would be a hindrance? Is there anything I'm dragging into here through my disobedience? Is there something in an attitude that I have? Lord, cleanse me right now. Cleanse me right now that I'll be able to speak words of life and not words of death because my heart is right. So these are the things, knowing that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. We just acknowledge it and it's done with. So we can never forget where Christ found us. Because this whole thing of Him able to keep us is that He found us. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. It's a pure vitamin C passage. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness, I might add, of this world. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him. Isn't this a beautiful verse? He kept him as the apple of his eye. And I just staggered that. He found him, He kept him, He led him, and He kept him as the apple of His eye. Does it get any closer than that? I don't think so. It was Christ who found you. I know we say, well, then I found the Lord, then I found the Lord. Well, you did and you didn't. You didn't really find Him. He made Himself available so you could find Him. But He found you in a howling wilderness of sin and darkness. And because He found us, He wants us to finish well, to finish the race. He sought us before we sought Him. And so as we become men and women of the Bible, and as we live near to God, and these things we'll never be sorry about. You'll never be sorry for the time you spent in Bible study. You'll never be sorry for the time that you gave to the things of the Lord, because it'll strengthen your life. And God will use you greatly. And so God will He'll take care of you. He's able to do that. So commit yourself to Him today. And I would like to think, as we close in just a few moments here, that you will commit yourself. Say, Lord, I just want to surrender all that I am, all that I'm not, everything I know about You, Lord, to everything I know about me. I surrender to You, that knowing that You're able, You're quite able. This is the kind of God. So God took care of David. I've been reading of that. By the way, I'm also reading, I picked it up, Pilgrim's Progress. That's a pretty heady read. I thought it was, I must have read the children's version or something before, because this is really Mr. Much Afraid and Mr. Falls into the Slough of Despond and all these great, but it's not an easy read. It's quite in depth, because each one of these characters means something. as they make their way from the city of destruction to the to Mount Zion. That's the journey on this. And so when I was thinking about David, that you can never kill or harm a man or a woman if God is taking care of them. You know, I'll say that again. You can never kill or harm a man or woman if God is taking care of him. That's a truth. God said he will take care of us throughout our life. And there's a great verse in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out your arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Nothing too hard for thee. He's able. So what about nothing too hard? What about our situation? He will provide. This is the God who wants you to know that he's highly committed to you, much in love with you, delirious about you, and he's able to keep you. But you must commit your way. I must commit my way. It's not a matter of me sitting like waiting for, say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, it's not like waiting for a bus. You know, where there's an action to it where I draw near to you that my whole life would be surrendered to you. And for a baby Christian, for a brand new convert, oh, so crucial. This is, they must hear it again. The Lord will look after you. The Lord will look after you. Do not rely on the arm of the flesh. Do not look to other people. They will disappoint you. They will fail you. You will be sorely disappointed. Fix your eyes on him. And then when we come to middle age, to say, I feel overwhelmed. How am I going to make it? You'll make it, because he's able to make you stand. That's the whole point why Paul's writing in chapter 14. He said he's able to stand because God makes him stand. I'm not standing in my own strength. Oh, what a broken reed that is. Right? What a disappointment that is, looking to yourself. You couldn't save yourself. Why did you think you could keep yourself? You do the same about effectiveness as that. You can't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. You can't deliver yourself. That is the Lord that must do that. And so he will. And so I'm able to stand because God will make me stand. And that's for you today. Be much encouraged in the Lord's love for you and his care for you and his interest in you. You are the apple of his eye. I marvel at that. I'm not even sure what that is, but it sounds like something I'd like. Maybe you have a little insight on it. The apple of his eye, but it's in Scripture a lot. And so that's whatever it is, that's what I am. I'm the apple of his eye, and you are too. So I'd like you to stand if you would. I know that when I finish a little shorter, everybody gets a little nervous as to what's going wrong. Except for Marcel. Oh. I'm going to get my dear brother to pray for us before. I just want you to stretch. Now you can be seated. It's a stretch. It's just a stretch time because you've been sitting for. I've been walking. You've been sitting. So please be seated now. He's going to at the end. He's going to pray for us. So here this morning. What has been your experience with walking with Christ? We got a tremendous collective amount of insight and wisdom in the Lord and strength in the Lord that you have found him to be absolutely faithful, that he didn't fail you, he's not going to fail you, he's watching over you. So tell us about that. What has been your experience that works for you to stay close to Christ? Who would like to be first? I really like this part, by the way. I love this part. Didn't mean to confuse you with standing up and down. But right. What's been your experience? So we can be strengthened and not be casualties. Well, Marcel, why don't you come and pray that into our hearts here. You can remain seated since you already stood, lady.
Why don't we, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we were sitting here, I was just thinking how great you are. You're really a great God. Lord Jesus, as Owen was speaking, Lord, you're the one that sustains us.
Yes.
You're the one that keeps us. You're the one that holds us. You're the one that gives us mercy.
Yes.
You're the one that gives us grace. Lord, even as we heard those times when we didn't even know how we were going to make it through,
yeah.
Lord Jesus, as we look back, we see you carrying us through. God, you're so good. And then on top of that, you say we're the apple of your eye. We offer really nothing, and you just give us all this stuff. And Lord, you are just so good, so good. And Father, I think our response to that is just to fling ourselves confidently, I guess, at the throne of grace. And so, God, I pray that we would just be people that would be daily coming to the throne of grace. Coming to the throne of grace every day. Yeah. And God, you would just continue to show us how you love us, continue to sustain us, continue to keep us, continue to hold us. And Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you.
Yes.
And God, the more we understand of this, the more in love we are with you. And so give us an even greater understanding of how good you are. And God, we love you.
Yes.
We love you, Jesus.
We love you.
And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Hope you can join us on the patio. And just as you remember, as you're going out, just flash in prayers for the second service, that the Lord would really bless that service as well. God bless you. Thank you.